Section 4. Before you ride. A responsible rider makes a point to 1. Wear protective riding gear. 2. Be familiar with the motorcycle. 3. Inspect the motorcycle. 4. Be free of impairments, alcohol and drug free. Selecting and wearing protective gear. Anytime you ride a motorcycle, you should wear a helmet compliant with the U.S. Department of Transportation, DOT. Face and eye protection. Motorcycle protective riding gear, gloves, long pants, jacket, sturdy footwear. Helmet use. Crash data shows that head injuries account for a majority of serious and fatal injuries to motorcyclists. Research also shows that riders wearing helmets have fewer and less severe head injuries in a crash. Here are some facts to consider. Helmets make your riding experience more enjoyable. Helmets protect you from the elements, wind, bugs, debris, etc. A DOT-compliant helmet does not restrict vision or mask important sounds. Crashes are unpredictable and may happen at any time, even on short rides or within minutes of starting the ride. Regardless of speed, a helmet will reduce the severity of head injuries. Helmet use and motorcycle operators. A motorcycle operator is required to wear an approved crash helmet unless he or she is at least 21 years old, has at least $20,000 in first-party medical benefits insurance in effect, and has held a motorcycle endorsement for at least 2 years, or has passed an approved motorcycle rider education course. Helmet use. Motorcycle passengers. A motorcycle passenger is required to wear an approved crash helmet unless he or she is at least 21 years old, and has at least $20,000 in first-party medical benefits insurance in effect in addition to the insurance that is required of the motorcycle operator. Helmet use. Moped. A moped operator less than 19 years of age shall wear a crash helmet. Helmet selection. Protection should be the first consideration when buying your motorcycle helmet. There are three primary types of helmets: full face, three-quarter and half. A full face helmet gives the most head protection since it covers all of the head and face. This design has a flip-up face shield that protects the eyes. A three-quarter helmet affords riders good head protection and is constructed with the same basic components, but doesn't offer the face and chin protection of full face helmets. If you wear a three-quarter helmet, you should use an approved snap-on face shield or goggles. Half helmets provide the least amount of protection. Whichever style you choose, make sure that the helmet meets crash helmet standards and is DOT compliant. You can tell if a helmet is compliant with U.S. Department of Transportation standards if it has a label that states the manufacturer's name and/or brand, model and the wording DOT. FMVSS number 218, certified. Michigan requires motorcycle helmets to meet DOT standards. MISH. Admin. Code. R28.951. Has no obvious defects such as cracks, loose padding or frayed straps. Fastens securely. Helmet fit. A helmet should fit comfortably, but snugly. A helmet that is too loose can lift in the wind or come off your head in a fall. One that is too tight can create sores or cause headaches. When choosing a helmet, try on several brands and sizes to get an idea of fit and comfort. Here are a few tips for the best fit. Cheek pads should touch your cheeks without pressing uncomfortably. There should be no gaps between your temples and brow pads. If the helmet has a neck roll, it should not push the helmet away from the back of your neck. On full-face helmets, press on the chin piece. The helmet or face shield should not touch your nose or chin. Whatever helmet you decide on, keep it securely fastened on your head when you ride. Otherwise, if you are involved in a crash, it's likely to come off your head before it gets a chance to protect you. Face and eye protection. Without face protection, an object could hit you in the eye, face or mouth. A full face helmet provides the maximum face and eye protection while riding and in the event of a crash. A plastic shatter-resistant face shield can help protect your eyes and face from wind, dust, dirt, rain, insects and pebbles thrown from cars ahead. These distractions can be painful and can take your full attention from the road. Whatever happens, keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the handlebars. Face shields come in a variety of designs to fit most any helmet. Make sure that the face shield you choose is designed for your helmet and does not interfere with eyeglasses or sunglasses. To be effective, eye or face shield protection must be free of scratches. Be resistant to penetration. Give a clear view to either side. Fasten securely, so it does not blow off. Permit air to pass through to reduce fogging. Permit enough room for eyeglasses or sunglasses if needed. Windshields will not protect your eyes from the wind and debris, neither will eyeglasses or sunglasses. A windshield is not a substitute for a face shield. Glasses will not keep your eyes from watering, and they might blow off when you turn your head while riding. Goggles protect your eyes, though they won't protect the rest of your face like a face shield does. Goggles can also reduce peripheral vision. Tinted eye protection or shields should not be worn at night or any other time when little light is available. Windshields, goggles, eyeglasses or face shields. A person operating a motorcycle in excess of 35 miles per hour that is not equipped with a windshield shall wear goggles with transparent lenses, eyeglasses or a transparent face shield that is shatter-resistant and of sufficient size to protect his or her eyes against airborne materials and other road debris. Hearing protection. Long-term exposure to wind noise can cause irreversible hearing damage. Properly worn hearing protection can reduce wind noise and make your ride more enjoyable, while still allowing you to hear important sounds like car horns and sirens. You can choose from a variety of styles, from disposable foam plugs to reusable custom-molded devices. Protective riding gear. Riding gear designed for motorcycle riders provides protection in the event of a crash, as well as from heat, cold, rain, debris and hot or moving parts of the motorcycle. Sturdy synthetic or leather materials provide the best protection. Wearing brightly colored clothing with reflective material will make you more visible to other roadway users. Jackets and pants should cover arms and legs completely and be made of durable material. Jeans do not provide adequate protection. Wear a jacket even in warm weather to prevent dehydration. Many motorcycle riding jackets are designed to protect without getting you overheated, even on summer days. Protective footwear provides protection for the feet, ankles, and lower parts of the legs. They should be high and sturdy enough to cover your ankles and give them support. Leather boots are best. Soles should be made of hard, durable, slip-resistant material. Sandals, sneakers, and similar footwear should not be used since they provide little protection and may interfere with controls. Keep heels short so they do not catch on rough surfaces. Tuck laces in so they won't catch on your motorcycle. Gloves allow a better grip and help protect your hands. Your gloves should be full-fingered and made of leather or similar durable material. Rain suits designed for motorcycle riding resist tearing apart or ballooning up at high speeds. You will be much more comfortable and alert than a rider who is wet and cold. One or two-piece styles are available. A rain suit with reflective strips or high-visibility orange or yellow colors are good choices. Whatever the weather conditions, always wear protective gear that will keep you comfortable, enabling you to concentrate on your riding. Cycle safety information. What you should know about motorcycle helmets. Helmets work. Most sport-type activities have their own suitable protective gear and equipment. Motorcycling is no exception. Every rider and passenger should wear over-the-ankle footwear, long pants, a long-sleeved jacket, full-fingered motorcycle gloves, and a helmet manufactured to comply with DOT, U.S. Department of Transportation, standards. Helmets work. Helmet effectiveness has been confirmed by scientific studies, while helmet myths, helmets break necks, block vision and impair hearing, have been consistently disproved. Safety-conscious riders wear helmets as a sensible, responsible choice every time they ride. We know that you will, too. What a helmet does for you. First, it is the most important protective gear you can wear while riding a motorcycle. Think of it at the same time you think of your ignition key. Pick up the key. Pick up the helmet. They go together. Helmet use is not a cure-all for motorcyclist safety, but in a crash, A helmet can help protect your brain, your face, and your life. Combined with other motorcycle-specific protective gear, rider education courses, proper licensing and public awareness, the use of helmets is one way to reduce injury. You hope your helmet never has an impact. But crashes do happen. We can't predict when or what kind they will be. You should not say to yourself, "I am just running down to the store," and not wear your helmet. Second, a good helmet makes riding a motorcycle more fun, due to the comfort factor. Another truth. It cuts down on wind noise roaring by your ears, on wind blast on your face and eyes, and deflects bugs and other objects flying through the air. It even contributes to comfort from changing weather conditions and reduces rider fatigue. Third, wearing a helmet shows that motorcyclists are responsible people. We take ourselves and motorcycling seriously. Wearing a helmet, no matter what the law says, is a projection of your attitude toward riding. And that attitude is plain to see by other riders and non-riders alike. How and why a helmet works. Different helmets do different things. There are hard hats on construction and heavy industry heads, football helmets on athletes' heads, and Kevlar caps on military heads. None are interchangeable. Motorcycle helmets are very sophisticated and specialized for the activity. They've been developed carefully and scientifically over the years. Four basic components work together to provide protection in the motorcycle helmet: an outer shell, an impact-absorbing liner, the comfort padding, and a good retention system. What we see first is the outer shell, usually made from some family of fiber-reinforced composites or thermoplastics like polycarbonate. This is tough stuff, yet it's designed and intended to compress when it hits anything hard. That action disperses energy from the impact to lessen the force before it reaches your head, but it doesn't act alone to protect you. Inside the shell is the equally important impact-absorbing liner, usually made of expanded polystyrene, commonly thought of as styrofoam. This dense layer cushions and absorbs shock as the helmet stops and your head wants to keep on moving. Both the shell and the liner compress if hit hard, spreading the forces of impact throughout the helmet material. The more impact energy deflected or absorbed, the less there is of it to reach your head and brain and do damage. Some helmet shells delaminate on impact. Others may crack and break if forced to take a severe hit. This is one way a helmet acts to absorb shock. It is doing its intended job. Impact damage from a crash to the non-resilient liner may be invisible to the eye. It may look normal, but it may have little protective value left and should be replaced. The comfort padding is the soft foam and cloth layer that sits next to your head. It helps keep you comfortable and the helmet fitting snugly. In some helmets, this padding can even be taken out for cleaning. The retention system, or chin strap, is very important. It is the one piece that keeps the helmet on your head in a crash. A strap is connected to each side of the shell. Every time you put the helmet on, fasten the strap securely. It only takes a couple of seconds. To ride without your helmet secured would be as questionable as driving without your seatbelt fastened. Choosing a helmet. While color, design and price may be a part of your decision about which helmet to buy, think first about protection and comfort. A full-face helmet gives the most protection since it covers more of your face. It usually has a movable face shield that protects the eyes when it is closed. A three-quarter, open-face helmet is also a choice of some riders. It is constructed with the same basic components, but doesn't offer the face and chin protection of full-face helmets. If you use an open-face helmet, you should have a snap-on face shield in place when you ride, or buy a pair of goggles that can withstand the impact of a stone or other debris. Prescription eyeglasses or sunglasses are not sufficient protection, and they might move or fly off. A shorty half helmet protects even less of your head. It is more likely to come off your head upon impact. Therefore, shorty, half-shell helmets are not recommended. Novelty helmets, characterized by a thin or non-existent liner, must be avoided. A lot of good helmets are available today, in a range of prices. One look around your dealer's helmet display will convince you that nearly any look you could want from a helmet is readily available. Many manufacturers are color coordinating their helmets with the newest motorcycle models. And the days of heavy or cumbersome helmets are over. They're made of lightweight, modern materials and are improved each year. Manufacturers are also working to make them less expensive, stronger and more comfortable. What you must know when choosing a helmet is that it meets minimum safety standards. The way to find a well-made, reliable helmet is to look for the DOT sticker on the inside or outside of the helmet. The sticker means the helmet complies with the safety test standards of the U.S. Department of Transportation. A SNELL sticker may also appear on a helmet, meaning the helmet also complies with standards set by the SNELL Memorial Foundation. Each organization has rigid procedures for testing. Impact, the shock-absorbing capacity of the helmet. Penetration, the helmet's ability to withstand a blow from a sharp object. Retention, the chin strap's ability to stay fastened without stretching or breaking. Peripheral vision, the helmet must provide a minimum side vision of 105 degrees to each side. Most people's usable peripheral vision is only about 90 degrees to each side. All new adult-sized helmets for on-highway use must meet DOT standards. Helmet dealers and distributors must ensure that all the helmets they sell bear the DOT sticker. Whatever your helmet choice, be sure it has this certification. You don't want an inferior helmet or one designed for another purpose. If someone tries to sell you one without it, don't buy it. If your helmet has no DOT sticker, do not wear it, regardless of its age. SNELL has been testing helmets for decades. The use of SNELL standards by helmet manufacturers is voluntary. Unlike DOT standards, SNELL testing is revised, most recently in 2010, as helmet design and technology improve. Both agencies attempt to reproduce, under test conditions, the situations that are hazardous to motorcyclists. Their testing methods differ, but the intent is the same: to make certain any helmet they recognize has life-saving, shock-absorbing minimums. Since head injuries account for a majority of motorcycle fatalities, protection is vital. Head injury was specified on 42% of the death certificates for motorcycle operators and passengers in California in 1987-88. Romano P.S., McLaughlin E., 1991. Helmet Use and Fatal Motorcycle Injuries in California, 1987-88. Journal of Head Trauma Rehabilitation. May 1991, 6, 2, 21-37. Even the best helmet is no guarantee against injury. However, without a helmet you are more likely to have serious head injuries than a rider who is wearing one. Size. There's more to fitting a helmet than just buying the one that matches your hat size or guessing at small, medium or large. However, hat size is a good starting point. If you don't know your size, you can use the chart above. Measure your head at its largest circumference, usually just above your eyebrows in front, above your ears and around in back. Try it several times so you know you've gotten the largest number. If your head size falls between the numbers listed, try the smaller size first and give it time to conform to your head. Most helmets are marked and sold as XXS, XS, S, M, L, XL or XXL, so you may need to contact the manufacturer for size equivalents. Helmet sizes vary among manufacturers and model types. The best way to try on your helmet. Hold it by the chin straps. The bottom of the helmet should face you with the front pointing down. Put your thumbs on the inside of the straps, balancing the helmet with your fingertips. Spread the sides of the helmet apart slightly and slip it down over your head using the chin straps. The helmet should fit snugly and may even feel a bit tight until it is in place correctly. Be sure it sits squarely on your head. It shouldn't be tilted back on your head like a hat. Remember, if your helmet is too large, several things could happen. It will move around and up and down on your head when you least want it to. It can be noisy and let in wind. Worst of all, it may come off in a crash. Once the helmet is on your head, make a few other fit checks before fastening the straps. The cheek pads should touch your cheeks without pressing uncomfortably. There should be no gaps between your temples and the brow pads. If the helmet has a neck roll, it shouldn't push the helmet away from the back of your neck. On full-face helmets, press on the chin piece. The helmet or face shield should not touch your nose or chin. If it does, it will surely do so at speed from wind pressure. With the helmet still on and the straps securely fastened, move it from side to side and up and down with your hands. If it fits right, your skin should move as the helmet is moved. You should feel as if a slight, even pressure is being exerted all over your head. Remember, too, that a helmet loosens up a bit as the comfort liner compresses through use. A new helmet should be as tight as you can comfortably wear it. Now, with the chin strap still securely fastened and your head straight, try rolling the helmet forward off your head. You shouldn't be able to pull it off. If you can, the helmet is too big. Take off the helmet. Does your head feel sore anywhere? Are there any red spots on your forehead? Pressure points can be uncomfortable and can cause a headache after a long ride, so be sure your helmet isn't causing any. If it is, choose the next largest size or try a different brand of helmet. Human heads are not all the same shape, neither are helmets. If you are still unsure about the helmet's fit, wear it around the store for a while to see if it remains comfortable. A helmet is an important investment, no matter what its price. Be sure the one you choose is right for you. Helmet care. Follow the manufacturer's care instructions for your helmet. Use only the mildest soap recommended. Avoid any petroleum-based cleaning fluids, especially if you own a polycarbonate helmet. Exposure to strong cleaning agents can cause the helmet to decompose and lose protective value. Keep your helmet's face shield clean. Normally, mild soap and warm water with a soft cloth will do the job. If it gets scratched, replace it. A scratched face shield can be difficult to see through. At night, it could dangerously distort your vision and your view of oncoming lights. A helmet looks tough and sturdy, but it should be handled as a fragile item. This means that you don't want to drop your helmet onto hard surfaces. It could ruin your helmet. Remember that its function is to absorb impacts, which can affect its integrity and effectiveness. It is not wise to store helmets near gasoline, cleaning fluids, exhaust fumes, or excessive heat. These factors can result in the degradation of helmet materials, and often the damage goes unnoticed by the wearer. Read the information that comes with the helmet so you know how to care for it. Definitely read the instructions about painting, decorating, pinstriping, or applying decals to your helmet. When you take your helmet off, find a flat, secure place for it. You could set it on the ground, secure it on a rack, or stow it on a shelf. On some bikes, putting it on the fuel tank may expose it to fumes. If you place it on the seat, make sure it won't fall off. If you plan to use a communication device when you ride, find a model that doesn't require drilling speaker holes in the outer shell. Before you purchase your speakers, check with your state's laws regulating their use in helmets. Some states prohibit them. Replacing your helmet. Replace your helmet if it was involved in a crash, it probably absorbed some impact shock. Some helmet manufacturers will inspect and, when possible, repair a damaged helmet. If you drop your helmet and think it might be damaged, take advantage of this service. Most helmet manufacturers recommend replacing your helmet every few years. If you notice any signs of damage before then, replace it sooner. Why replace your helmet every few years if it doesn't appear damaged? Its protective qualities may deteriorate with time and wear. The chin strap may fray or loosen at its attaching points, the shell could be chipped or damaged. The best reason is that helmets keep improving. Chances are that the helmet you buy in a couple of years will be better, stronger, lighter, and more comfortable than the one you own now. It might even cost less. Can't remember when you bought your present helmet? Check the chin strap or permanent labeling. New helmets must have the month and date of production stamped on it. If there's no date at all, you should definitely replace your helmet now. State helmet requirements. Reflectivity. Many states require a specific amount of retroreflective material on a helmet. Thoroughly read the manufacturer's information. Your local motor vehicle department can give you exact information on the location and number of square inches of retroreflective material required in your state. Helmet laws. Wearing a helmet properly strapped on your head is mandatory in many states. But that's a moot point, because as a responsible, safety-minded motorcyclist, you'll be wearing your helmet every time, and everywhere, you ride. Getting more information. You've now read that there are many things to consider when buying a helmet. Get all the information you can. Contact helmet manufacturers and read their literature. Consult recent motorcycle enthusiast magazines for up-to-date information to help in your decision. Two authorities you may contact are National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Office of Traffic Injury Control Programs. 1200 New Jersey Avenue, SE West Building. Washington District of Columbia, 20590. 888-327-4236, nhtsa.gov. Snell Memorial Foundation, Inc. 3628 Madison Avenue, Suite 11. North Highlands, CA 95660. 916-331-5073, smf.org, info@smf.org. While gathering information on protecting your head, why not get good tips on other personal protective gear? Read MSF's Cycle Safety Information, CSI, Sheet, Personal Protective Gear for the Motorcyclist, available from the MSF at no charge. While you're at it, pick up a copy of MSF's Motorcycling Excellence. And be sure to complete an MSF rider course to keep your skills and strategies sharp. Wear your helmet every time you ride. Know your motorcycle. You should get to know your motorcycle. Learning how things work and what parts need the most attention could reduce your chances of being in a crash and extend the life of your motorcycle. To make sure that your motorcycle will not let you down, read the owner's manual first and get to know it. Be familiar with the motorcycle controls. Conduct a pre-ride check of the motorcycle before every ride. Keep it serviced and maintained. Make sure your motorcycle fits you. Your feet should reach the ground while you are seated on the motorcycle. Motorcycle controls. It is important to read your motorcycle owner's manual to learn where your motorcycle controls are and how to operate them. You should be able to operate them while riding without having to look for them. Primary controls. There are 6 primary controls needed to make the motorcycle move and stop. You will need both hands and both feet to operate these controls. Handlebars. The handlebars are used to initiate and control motorcycle lean, which turns the motorcycle. Throttle. Is the right hand grip and is operated by rolling the hand grip toward you to increase speed and away from you to decrease speed. When released, the throttle snaps back to an idle position. To use the throttle safely and comfortably, keep 4 fingers around the throttle, hand grip, and the wrist in a flat position. Clutch lever. Located in front of the left hand grip. To operate, squeeze the clutch lever in toward the left hand grip. Motorcycle controls disconnecting power from the rear wheel. To re-engage power, slowly release the clutch lever while gently applying throttle. Gear shift lever is usually located on the left side of the motorcycle in front of the footrest and is operated by the left foot. To shift to a higher gear, upshift, squeeze the clutch lever and then lift the gear shift lever. To shift to a lower gear, downshift, squeeze the clutch lever and then press the gear shift lever. Motorcycle transmissions shift only 1 gear per each lift or press. The shift lever must be released before you can shift again. A typical shift pattern is 1N, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Neutral, N, is a half shift up from first or a half shift down from second. A full upshift or downshift will bypass neutral. An instrument light indicates when the transmission is in neutral. Front brake lever, located in front of the right hand grip and controls the brakes on the front wheel. To operate, squeeze the front brake lever smoothly and progressively. Rear brake pedal, located in front of the right footrest and controls braking on the rear wheel. To operate, press down on the rear brake pedal with your right foot. Other controls and equipment. Along with the 6 primary controls, there are a few other controls on most motorcycles that are important to know and locate. The location and operation of some of these controls vary from model to model. Refer to your motorcycle owner's manual. Engine cutoff switch, located on the right hand grip and operated by the right thumb. It allows you to shut off the engine without removing your hands from the controls. Fuel supply valve, controls fuel supply to the engine. To run the fuel supply valve, turn it from OFF to ON. Also may include reserve and prime positions. It may not be present on some motorcycles. Ignition switch. Usually located near the instrument cluster, on the gas tank or under the tank and activated with a key. Positions include ON, OFF, LOCK and PARK. The LOCK position allows the key to be removed and engages a steering lock mechanism. PARK activates the taillight for increased visibility if you park alongside a roadway at night. Choke. If equipped, frequently located near the left hand grip, the instrument cluster or the carburetor. It is important that you consult your owner's manual for more information. The choke provides an enriched fuel mixture to assist in cold engine starts. Turn to OFF position when engine is warmed. Turn signal switch, usually located on the hand grip and operated by the thumb. Most models do not self-cancel. Check your owner's manual. High, low beam headlight, located on the left hand grip. On most motorcycles, the headlight activates when the ignition is on. Horn, located on the left hand grip. Operate by pressing with your thumb. Starter, located on the right hand grip. Operate by pressing with your thumb. Speedometer, indicates motorcycle road speed. An odometer shows miles ridden, and a resettable trip meter can be used to show trip miles or miles since the last gas stop. Tachometer, if equipped, it indicates motorcycle engine speed in revolutions per minute, RPM. Never exceed red line RPM. Indicator lights, located in the instrument cluster. Includes neutral, turn signals, oil pressure, high beam, side stand down, and possibly others. Mirrors, located on the left and right sides of the motorcycle. Most mirrors are convex. Convex mirrors provide a wider view than flat mirrors but make vehicles seem further away than they really are. Adjust them so your shoulder and upper arm are partially visible. This gives you the maximum view to the rear and the side. Side and center stands, supports the motorcycle when parked. Not all models have center stands. Most stands have return springs that snap up and hold them in place. Always raise the stand before riding. Pre-ride check. If something's wrong with the motorcycle, you'll want to find out about it before you get in traffic. Make a complete check of your motorcycle before every ride. Before mounting the motorcycle, make the following checks. Tires, wheels, keep tires in good condition. Tire pressure. Check the tire pressure using a gauge. A tire may be underinflated without a noticeable change in appearance. Motorcycles do not handle properly if the inflation pressure is too low or too high. Check the owner's manual for the right amount. Tire tread. Check the tread of the tires. Worn or uneven tread can make the motorcycle hard to handle, particularly on wet pavement. Rims, spokes. Check for bent, loose or damaged rims and spokes. Damage to tires. Check for cuts or objects stuck in the tread. Also, check the sidewalls for cracks. A blowout on a motorcycle can be extremely dangerous. Fluids, oil and fluid levels. At a minimum, check hydraulic fluids and coolants weekly. Look under the motorcycle for signs of an oil or gas leak. Running out of gas is inconvenient. It can also be dangerous as it makes leaving the road difficult. Lack of oil can damage your engine. Headlights and taillight, check them both. Test your switch to make sure both high and low beams are working. Turn signals. Turn on both right and left turn signals. Make sure all lights are working properly. Brake light. Try both brake controls and make sure each one turns on the brake light. Controls. Levers, cables, throttle. Check the condition, operation and routing. Check the cables for kinks or broken strands. If a cable breaks while riding, the motorcycle could become difficult to control and a crash could result. Chain. Make sure the drive chain is properly adjusted and lubricated. Check the motorcycle owner's manual for information regarding chain adjustment. Once you have mounted the motorcycle, complete the following checks before starting out. Clutch and throttle. Make sure they operate smoothly. The throttle should snap back when released. The clutch should feel tight and smooth. Mirrors. Clean and adjust both mirrors before riding. It is difficult and dangerous to adjust a mirror while riding. Position both mirrors far enough outward to show about half the lane behind and as much as possible of the lane to the side. When properly adjusted, a mirror may show the edge of your arm or shoulder, but it's the road behind and to the side that's most important. Brakes. Try the front and rear brake controls, one at a time. Make sure each one feels firm. not spongy and holds the motorcycle when the brake is fully applied. Check the brake fluid levels. Roll the motorcycle a little and make sure the brakes stop the motorcycle. After starting to ride, slightly apply the brakes and make sure the motorcycle slows. It is important to check the brakes because you must be able to slow down and stop the motorcycle. Horn. Try the horn. Make sure it works. Fuel supply valve. If equipped, make sure the valve is on, open. Your motorcycle may start with fuel still in the lines, but it will stall once the lines are empty. Quick tips. Anti-lock braking systems, ABS. How does ABS work? If either of a motorcycle's tires loses traction and skids along the road surface during braking, the rider might lose control of the motorcycle. An anti-lock braking system, ABS, helps maintain traction by preventing the wheels from locking up as the tires approach the maximum braking limit. With ABS, each wheel has a speed sensor that sends signals to an electronic control unit, ECU. The ECU is a computer that monitors the rotational speed of the wheels and modulates brake pressure to provide maximum braking capacity in a given situation while maintaining maximum traction. If one of the wheels is on the verge of coming to a sudden stop, a skid, the ECU will decrease the braking force in order to prevent the skid. To decrease braking force, the ECU sends a signal to open a relief valve that reduces hydraulic pressure in the braking system on that individual wheel. When the tire regains traction and starts spinning again, the ECU sends a signal to restore the hydraulic pressure in the brake line, which in turn increases the braking power. This process occurs rapidly and repeatedly, causing the brakes to pulsate when the ABS is in use. It is important to note that this process occurs independently between the front and rear wheels. If the ABS system fails, an indicator light will come on, and the brakes will still work, but without the ABS function. What can and can't ABS do? Several studies have cited improper braking as a pre-impact factor responsible for some motorcycle crashes. Some manufacturers offer ABS as an option on certain models, allowing consumers to choose ABS technology to help them brake more effectively. ABS is not guaranteed crash prevention, but in certain situations it can help riders avoid a crash. ABS only works when the front brake lever and rear brake pedal are continuously applied during stopping and not pumped. ABS can quickly respond to a change in surface friction during braking and help prevent the rider from losing control. ABS's greatest benefit may be on wet or icy roads. ABS is most effective when the bike is completely upright and going in a straight line. The dynamics of motorcycles, which must lean to corner, prevents the ABS from assisting the rider in every situation. During aggressive cornering, ABS may not have the intended effect. Cornering at the limit requires very smooth braking, and the pulsing caused by ABS can upset the bike, causing it to low side and slide out from under the rider. It is important to note that ABS is not a substitute for proper braking techniques and common sense. ABS is not intended to shorten stopping distances on dry roads, so riders are not free to speed or tailgate in hopes that ABS will compensate for their poor judgment. ABS does not allow a motorcycle to violate the laws of physics.